Hi, I'm Simone Maben, a physician, a graduate of the Air Force Academy, a professional athlete, and a certified personal trainer. This is a podcast about living a healthy, fit, and balanced life 365 days a year. Okay, so let's start in the middle of the tragedy of how I landed here at Johns Hopkins. It was the middle of October 2018, not exactly sure of the date because I don't remember stuff like that, but I was a fourth-year resident and at this point pretty well into completing the required 200 electrodiagnostic tests that we have to do, so an EMG nerve conduction study. And so I was going to go see this patient by myself, as you're supposed to be doing at this point. And as I did, I was starting the evaluation and the study, just knowing that the final results of the ACG match were going to be released in the middle of the study because they're typically an hour long or so. So I was excited, but also a little nervous. It's because I was like really 99% sure where I was going to be going. I knew July of 2019, I was going to be at this one location. I just needed the verification. I needed that comfort and just close that deal. And so as I was doing the study with this patient, I had my phone on silent, as you should, and my phone was sitting on my chest, you know, in the pocket of my shirt, and it kept vibrating towards the end of the test, and I professionally just ignored it, knowing it was probably my friends congratulating me. And so I finished the study and was a little distracted, but discussed the results with my patient, and then just began to walk back to the neurology workroom to update my attending on my findings. And so as I did, I checked my phone and I saw all the congratulation text and a missed call, but it was from a number I didn't know. And then that number called back again, and when I answered is when reality began to sink in. Okay, guys, today's episode is a little different than previous. I want to share a personal story, something that's pretty difficult for me to talk about, honestly, but I want to share my story in hopes of just giving someone else a bright outlook that whatever is going on in this current devastating time could turn around in a way you just never imagined. Just to be clear, my story today is representative just of my perception of events and how they impacted me. And in no way is this a comment towards any one individual, a process, or a big system. None of my experiences should be considered personal advice for you. This is just a story, my story. If you like what you hear today, please subscribe, like, or favorite on your favorite listening platform. Please take time to leave a review on Apple Podcast. Okay, well, before I tell you what happened with that phone call, I have to back it on up and give you some other information to fill in the gaps so you can understand how we even got here. First, let's just go back to my process of applying for fellowship. It really starts with having some level of organization to selecting where you want to go. And I'm type A, I'm sure, just like everyone else I trained with. And I started off pretty assertively in finding what kind of training program I wanted to go to, with a variety of resources. So my mentors, I'm talking to people that were leaders over my program, attending conferences, everything I could think of, looking online. I reached out and I asked people their opinion. And this is when I began to decide if I wanted to do sports medicine versus pain or spine. So not even really differentiating into pain or spine, which are two different fields. If you want to get down to the nitty-gritty, but really just trying to decide on the big picture if I wanted to go into sports medicine or not. And man, it was a lot of pressure. So you research and you soul search and you're just scared. You're scared to make the wrong move because your ultimate goal as a doctor is to land in a field that makes you happy. So you just do your best to make the right decision. And I did that by applying all this advice I got and all this research, and I ultimately looked at what kind of lifestyle I would have long term. You guys know that something I really push on is having a balanced lifestyle. I mean, it's the name of the podcast, and when I thought about sports medicine and where I was looking to go with sports medicine, which is elite to pro athlete level, and just going into pain or spine, it was just going to be completely different ball games. And when you look at what kind of quality of life you get versus compensation and some of the political things you deal with in sports medicine, and it's just a lot. And at that time, I also had a lot of really strong training in sports. My residency, didactics were good. The attendings I worked with were fabulous. I had opportunities to manage my own teams while I was there. So I had a lot of experience and confidence, and I had a lot of feedback from my sports attendings that this was something I was already good at. Well, great. I felt good about that. And then I thought, well, why build upon your training on something you're not 100% sure you want to do full time and give your whole lifestyle away to? Why don't you just have that skill set in your back pocket and go build on something you don't know how to do by myself? So that's putting needles in people, making them feel better with it. And that is complicated and requires a lot of training. And so I said, well, I'm going to go into training in something I actually need to work a lot on and add that to my toolbox of taking care of patients. So, you know, my major goal is to not just be an interventionalist. It's a great skill set, but I plan to combine that with other things that I do. So when I look at that, you know, full spectrum, that's why it made sense for me to apply for the programs that I did. And so I focused on ACGME pain programs early on, but I mean, I didn't even really get to do all my rotations and everything. What happened is that because I was in a new program, you know, I was in the first class of PM&R residents to graduate from Vanderbilt. We didn't have older residents and we didn't have fellows that had graduated from there. We had young attendings that had some experience, but they're somewhat focused on what they're to do at that time and not really remembering the timelines they used when they applied for things. So much so that when I like sent an email inquiring about the deadlines, I mean, they actually kind of laughed at me and were like, Simone, are you going to finish third year? Like, I got, you know, made fun of because I was applying too early. But then my best friend, who is an anesthesiology resident at Vanderbilt, OB, said, no, you really need to be applying now. Like, it was December of 2017, and he confirmed because he was applying for the same fellowships. And I was like, oh, okay, now I'm behind. Oh, you know, get all flustered and frustrated. And I, like I said, I hadn't done some of the rotations to confirm that I really wanted to do pain, ACGME versus the spine. They're different types of training with different focuses. And I just knew I needed to start applying to something so I had options and opportunities. It's really one of the main lessons my dad taught me, I remember most, is always create as many opportunities as possible for yourself until you decide to close the door on something. And so I wanted to put my hat in for pain, ACGME, because those deadlines were earliest and I hadn't really even done a rotation in anesthesia pain yet. So I submitted my applications late. I can't remember exactly how many interviews I had, but I remember it was 10, it was less than 10, but it wasn't just like two, you know, it was, I can't remember, but it wasn't a lot. And some of my colleagues that matched had many more programs. Now, I know what the trainee people are thinking is that saying we always hear as trainees when you're applying, all you need is one to say yes. Yes, we all know, but it's a little stressful if only one place is an option. So you want to increase your odds as much as possible by playing towards the statistics. So I wanted more interviews, but that's what I got. Thank God. My first interview was the strongest and I got immediate feedback early on that they wanted me there. And so I got feedback from, it doesn't matter. I got feedback from people that were in the know of the program. And when they told me this, I still continued my interviews. I was still optimistic about other opportunities. But when it all circled back around, I was like, man, what a gratifying feeling that a place really wants me. Like, you guys don't understand, like going through medical school and residency, there wasn't like this confident experience where someone had reached out to me and was like, oh, you're our number one pick. Like, that just wasn't ever my experience. That wasn't my story. And so I had these people early on telling me that they wanted me. Oh, I was just so proud. So for 8 months, I'm secure. For 8 months, that's how long this matches. For 8 months, I'm actually one of the secure people. I know what my next chapter is. Well, until coming out of that patient room back in October of 2018, answering my cell phone, and my excitement crumbles. Hi, this is so-and-so from the University of Michigan. We just want to offer you a spot for the upcoming year. We just need you to send us your most updated documents and your CV and blah, 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 blah. Her voice starts to trail off and I get confused because I did not even interview at the University of Michigan. What is she talking about? I tell her, ma'am, I haven't even logged into the ACGME Match website yet. Blah, 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 blah. I can't even remember. And she realized in that moment, she was the first one telling me I did not match. The second ones were all my friends texting me. And I'm just like, you guys, I'm logged in and you're saying congratulations, but it says I did not match. Like, where are you saying I matched? You know, this is my first time ever going through the ACGME Match, like the way it is set up like this. And so I just thought maybe I'd done it wrong. There's so much confusion. And a lot of it was because there's these other programs that ranked me pretty high that I did not rank as number one like I did this one. So just by pure numbers, and they saw it wasn't on their list, they're like, oh, well, she obviously got the other one. Obviously did not. So I glance at the top of the screen, triple checking my name. Oh, yep, says Ashley Simone Maben right there. And then right below it, you did not match. Ugh. Your heart just drops for a second. You blink your eyes, thinking maybe things are blurry, you're logged in the wrong website, you're a little delusional, confused, sad. What's next? So then I realized that the person calling from University of Michigan was receiving a list of all these people that didn't match and reaching out to like their top choices, you know, of who they wanted on that list. And so in that moment, in an ideal world, based on what I'm about to tell you about the rest of the story, I should have accepted that spot. I just didn't know, because that spot was gone in 15 minutes after that I hung up that phone. Obviously, the first choice wasn't Johns Hopkins. Didn't apply to Johns Hopkins in that match. Johns Hopkins fellowship I'm in isn't in the match. So then you ask, how did you get here? Well, here's the next 48 hours, which I would describe as the worst 48 hours of my life that has to do with my career, in which I realize that I need to go into recovery mode. So initially I sat in the neurology room, zoned out, not talking to anyone, just trying to figure things out. I was like, what do you do when you don't match? Like, nobody teaches you this. There's not a document you look up. Like, there's not even enough time to Google what you should do. All I was thinking is, like, I remember people that had a match. It seems like it's a fast thing. I think you're supposed to call places or email places. And so I quickly find the list of positions that didn't fill that year. And I think there were 12 or 13. And thank God I brought my laptop to work that day, because it's not a thing I normally do. So I had my CV and other important documents. And I email every single program and I call them. I call Michigan back, like I explained, and the position was gone within minutes. And so that's when I knew this was an emergency. And so I text my mentor, who is an interventional spine. And so I knew she was going to be in the middle of doing procedures. So there was no way she was going to be able to help me immediately. But I just, you know, waited until she was going to be free. And in the meantime, I just started applying places and shot stuff out. And then I went home. And I finally talked to her that evening on the phone. I think it was like a 5 o'clock. And her first question was to me, did you call everyone? Like, these spots are going to be gone by the morning. You need to call everyone and make sure you talk to them. And so we came up with a plan. And literally, I had no time to really even be sad and cry, because the emergent situation you're in, if you want to get a strong competitive position at this point, is really difficult. Now, not to put down programs other people are in that aren't in this group, but I wanted to go to a good program, and I'm going to be frank about that. So no, I'm not worried about these third-tier programs out there that you can find any time of year. Like, that's not my goal, okay? And so I wanted a good program and I deserved a good program. You know, I had been lied to. I had been lied to. And that affected everything about my match list. And so I felt like I needed to do anything I could to salvage this. And so that next morning, I was supposed to be in some grand rounds. And I step out and I'm making my list of calls of all the places that I needed to get a hold of the night before. Every single one, spot gone, spot gone, spot gone. I mean, some had automatic recordings on their voicemail. The slots are no longer available. Literally within 12 hours. No, yeah, within 12 hours, things were just gone. So then it became reality that matching into one of those slots was not going to be an option. And so I think within hours, I had a meeting with my chairman, Dr. DJ Kennedy, who knows a lot about this world. And I was frank with him. Hey, this is what happened. And right away, he was on my side. Right away, we came up with some ideas and a plan. And he was listening to me and gave me his phone number. You know, as you're going through this action plan, let me know what I can do. And we're actively texting and talking for the next several hours that day. I'm getting confirmation emails back from people that there's slots available or they're not. This is all for spine, so not the non-ACGME spine positions, which is what Dr. Kennedy's fellowship is, which the fellowship I'm in, the kind of fellowship I realized I kind of actually wanted to do as I was going through the whole pain match process, but it's too late. Like when the cart leaves, it's just like whatever, you know, you'll figure it out. But anyway, so here I am competing for these few slots that may or may not be left. Just I pulled out that night, I remember pulling out a folder, you know, back to the organization type A thing, pulled out a folder of my list that I was keeping while I was going through the application process and all the flyers I'd kept from conferences. And I pulled out the one for Johns Hopkins and I was like, oh man, I remember I really liked this one. And the first thing I was checking for every program, if there was a deadline, and if there wasn't, I would just send an email. And worst case scenario, you know, they say, no, there's nothing left. And so I think that night around 10 o'clock, I sent an email to my current program director, you know, all the, hey, you know, I'm interested, here's my stuff, da 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 da. Within minutes, now that I know my director, I know that Savvy responds to everything. He's very, very responsive. Within minutes, he's trying to, hey, I'm actually looking at applications right now. I'll get back to you. Oh my God. All I needed was to hear you were still looking at applications. It's so funny how your standards quickly shift, you know, in terms of what phase of the process that they're in. You know, still, this program was excellent, and I was super excited that, you know, he had responded about it, because this is not one of those programs that I was considering, like, oh, whatever, it's better than nothing. Like, I was super, super excited to apply to Johns Hopkins. And I didn't hear anything. Meanwhile, of course, I'm sending similar emails to other people that was on my list or Dr. Kennedy's list, and hearing back or being told, you know, there'd be an interview or whatever. But, you know, remember, this is an hour. So some people, I think it's a Saturday, aren't going to be checking work email for something like this, you know, every hour. And so I knew I might not hear anything until Monday or maybe next week. Well, I get an interview for that Saturday. I get called to do an interview, and in considering the questions, I thought I went pretty well. Like, I thought I did pretty good. Interviews aren't something that really worry me too much at this point, especially for fellowship. It's either they like you and it's a fit or they don't. There's not really like a, I'm not, you're not really concerned about being good enough. Once you read your CV, they already decide that you likely have the talent. They just need to talk to you to see if you're going to be a good fit for them. And the same thing for you, you know, as the applicant, as a person talking to them. Although I really wanted a position, if it was going to sound like something I didn't want to do, this was hour 20. You know what I mean? Like there was going to be something else to consider in the next few hours. So I still was asking the questions I thought were relevant at that time to help me make a choice too, because there was another place that I did get confirmation for on the same day, and is really competitive person, a great trainer that's really well known in our field. So that would have been an amazing opportunity too. So really within that 24 hours, I was trying to decide between them two, and then as it came around to that evening time, I was told at the end of the interview, okay, well, I'll let you know either tonight or tomorrow morning about things. So of course I stayed up super late unnecessarily, thinking, oh, well, maybe tonight could be as late as 11 p.m., which it's not. But of course, I eventually went to bed and realized it would be the morning. Okay, just relax. Anybody would have done it, you know it. So I wake up in the morning, constantly checking my email. Oh, at this time, I'd already talked to my mentor about all of this back and forth, and we discussed everything, every detail about the fellowship and my other options that weren't, solidified yet. And I really had to go back and forth with her on whether or not she thought this was going to be a good decision for me. I asked my mom too, but you need a medical person that's trained in this, and then you also need your family. They both bring two important aspects to a decision like this, and so I feel confident about the way things are. And so that next morning, I think around pretty early, it might have been like 8 or 9, I got an email. Yay, the position is yours. Oh my God. Talk about a freaking turnaround. Oh my God. Did Johns Hopkins just tell me the position is yours if you want it? And so, to not be too extreme, I wanted to think about it because I still had that one option out there. And there were. There's always concerns with anything. And so I just sat on it for a little bit and I called everyone back that was helping me. Hey, what do you think? What do you think? And, my biggest concern, which happened with the phone call just over a day ago, was the delay in thing with things like this. And I was like, you know what? This is it. This is what I'm gonna do. This is where I'm gonna go. And so I sent an email and like I accept the position. The reason the opportunity at Johns Hopkins is so significant for me is yes, of course, it's one of the top training institutions in not just the United States, but in the world. But the thing that made me want to be a doctor was reading Ben Carson's book when I was 12 years old. And all I remember was he went to Johns Hopkins. And so when I was 12 years old, I just remember that was the standard of academia, that there's nothing better. You got to figure out how to get to Johns Hopkins. And so to see this come full circle and have my story that was the most devastating thing that could have ever happened come back to where I'm in a dream location that I didn't even apply for. It wasn't even on my radar. It's just a blessing. Just goes to show you that the plan that's laid out for you is nothing within your realm of thought, nothing in the realm of possibility. And a lot of the times, the decisions that we're making are keeping us from that dream and that position because we're so anchored in our ways. And I just, when I think about how all of that transpired to be greater than my biggest dream, I just think about the possibilities that exist for coming out of this pandemic. My friends and my family know that I'm going through a really tough time right now on so many levels. And when I think about an example like this story this is my story, that I'm like, have faith. This could be your story again and again and again. And I think this could be someone else's story too, and not exact, but when you think about how impossible something seems when you're in a devastating situation, it doesn't always seem possible that you could end up good, but it never seems that you could come out better than you ever imagined. And I think it speaks to the powerful work that's being done always in your background of your life. And it speaks to you actually going towards your purpose always, as long as you keep your vector on greatness and you keep God first and do all the good things that really set you up for success. Overall, I hope you guys found something out of this story. If so, and you want to share, ask questions, please reach out to me. You can always email me at simone.maben@gmail.com.